All right. I feel like this is going to be a good cast.
Yeah, me too.
I'm inebriated. I'm sufficiently inebriated to cast.
You are well lubricated. I don't know about that.
But I have had some alcohol. Lubrication is a whole other matter, my friend.
Wow. This is a product of the lubrication that Jim's talking this way.
Speaking of lubrication, let's just go right into this. I heard tonight, like I've been hearing over and over on the radio, these commercials for like casinos where they brag about their loosest slots
on the billboards, right?
And I wonder if this is just like a phenomenon here in Indianapolis where they want to brag about that thing, or if it's everywhere. Does Vegas brag about their loose slots?
I've been to Vegas recently, and I just saw nary a billboard bragging about the loosest slots.
I mean, they are not ashamed. Loose slots, bring it on.
Right. They're wide open, spread.
They are. And I would think, like, in Vegas, that could legitimately have two meanings. Like, but you wouldn't brag about one of them. One of them you wouldn't.
You want the tight slots.
When you
go to the Bunny Ranch, you want the tightest slots in Nevada.
Yeah, you don't want to confuse those. Mm. That's a problem. If you go to Vegas and you confuse your loose and tight slots,
you've got
problems.
You can go home disappointed, my friend.
Yeah. You want to play the tight slots, or wait. Wait, it's the other way around. Yeah,
play the loose slots.
Play the loose slots and play with the tight slots.
And bang the tight slots.
Okay, gotcha. I don't know. I've been hearing these commercials everywhere, and I just think it's funny.
Should we give the listeners a little bit of war update?
A war update, yes, absolutely.
We successfully invaded...
Oh, yeah.
...the Personal Arrogance last week announced that they were going to do a Ustream live podcast. Mm-hmm. And we decided, well, hell, we're at war. We're going to do some reconnaissance, crash the party.
Yeah. I got to say, it takes some balls to do a live stream. I mean, we're essentially doing a live stream on this podcast. We don't really edit anything.
No, it just goes right to...
But it does take some balls, because technical difficulties, you could have some problems. So, yeah.
Well, they restarted the show like 3 times. I wasn't sure what
That's true. There was like 20 minutes beforehand where they were like, doo-doo-doo, they were playing their music, and I was like, is it started yet?
Right. I think they were doing a sound check or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
What I thought was funny is, you know, for the larger cast that they made sure to point out to us who had the most Facebook, how much Twitter followers. Because
Facebook is the benchmark.
Other than their girlfriend, quality. And I think maybe the other one was their mom.
One of them was a boyfriend, possibly.
They basically had two arch nemesis and two audience members. Mm-hmm. So if you take out the significant others and the moms, we were half of their audience.
Well, I think
their
arch
nemesis.
I think they might have had three, but one of them was on our side. One of them actually liked us.
And
yeah.
Actually, we split Jamie and Matt up.
We did.
With a timely comment on Risk.
We did. The Castle Risk.
They were bagging on Risk.
They were bagging on Risk.
And they got a point. Risk is a completely brain dead,
sure,
play on autopilot. I can tell you just by glancing at the state of the first board who's going to win.
But here's the thing, Jamie. Castle Risk is even more of a brain dead game. Castle Risk is a pile all my armies on my castle so I don't get beat game.
Like I can understand if Jamie only played that like 3 times, he would be
maybe
under that. But
yeah,
the thing is, if you played as much as we did back in the day, you quickly realize that you just pile everything on your home castle, wait to get the admiral card, and then a couple generals,
and then you go for it.
That's the initiation sequence of the Death Star.
Yeah.
Once you get the admiral and a couple general cards,
you go on
it's
a trench run.
Primary ignition.
Right?
Oh, I was going from the Empire.
Oh, see, I'm the Rebels.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. So it's either the commence primary ignition or the trench run, or what have you. Right. And
unless they have a spy, then it's a trap.
Right. But still, it's just the. We ought to do a Risk breakdown, because there's so many variants. There's Lord of the Rings Risk.
There's 2021. Is that the year?
I thought it was 2284.
1946,
It's a prime number.
It's a prime number, yeah.
Yeah.
So it must be 2023.
Risk 1942, which is also known as Axis and Allies.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little variant on the rules, but...
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a Risk breakdown.
Maybe. Not tonight. I'm not prepared.
We're doing it right now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Risk on.
Risk sucks. Castle Risk sucks.
Even worse.
Risk 2021 sucks.
Yeah.
You can go to the moon, but you're still going to get killed.
We talked about this yesterday. There's like layers of artificial complexity that they've added on where it's just... Mm-hmm. Like mini games. When a developer's got like 10 hours of content, they say, oh shit. No one's going to pay $60 for a game you beat 10 hours.
We need to put a lockpicking mini game on this.
We need mini games galore.
Yeah.
Let's have them do a horse chase sequence.
Let's put a Bejeweled style Matchem game in here.
Yeah. So that's what they did. They basically had the little, you know, minifigs.
Yeah.
They were basically glorified general cards.
Mm-hmm.
And they added like a random draw, like thermonuclear war, which randomly nukes three spots on the globe. And which, they added a moon that you can go to, which doesn't really...
Which is just another territory. Like, you have to find a way up there.
No, here's what it is. It's exactly like controlling Australia. Exactly like
it. Because there's only one way in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems awesome. There's actually three ways in. So it's even
worse. Yeah, there were three ways in. Yep.
But it seems awesome, and you know, you get a decent amount of bonus troops every turn, but there's no easy way in and out. And you know, towards the end of the game when a guy's rampaging through the continents, and
that's the thing, man, about Australia. Like, it feels so good at the beginning of the game to own Australia. First turn, I'm getting two extra armies. Like, we're talking about risk here. Like, first turn, I'm getting two extra armies, but what you don't realize is not only are you boxing everyone out by piling your armies in the front and in New Guinea or whatever whatever you're in, you're boxing yourself in. Exactly. Like, the only place to go is Asia, and no one can hold Asia. The only time you hold Asia is when you have a dominant force and you're winning the game already.
Yeah.
There's no point to it, ever.
I've tried it many times because as soon as you make a move on Asia or North America or Europe.
Yeah.
You're getting your ass stomped.
Exactly.
Because the people are like, we're not going to let you get five armies or seven armies.
And it's too wide open.
Yeah.
There are like five fronts to defend, and America comes in from the top.
Right.
Europe comes in. Africa comes in.
Right.
I think I'm convinced that the best place to be
is South America. Directly attack your Asia.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, it has to go through Africa.
There's a land bridge.
Oh, okay. With an admiral card and the original Risk.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Right. They have plenty of those.
No one cares about Risk. We need to move on.
Okay. Anyway, So.
But I was thinking.
Risk. Awesome.
You know, they mentioned several other things about. They made a dubious claim of Seattle being the microbrew capital of the world.
What is that?
I think that there is some people in Germany and Belgium that are actually right now starting up the old tank manufacturing plants and stockpiling ammo and rounding up Jews over that comment. I hope you're happy, Matt and Jamie. You started a new Holocaust.
Speaking of horribly offensive things to say, which you just did.
Exactly.
I wanted to comment about his comment, or Jamie's comment, about the USS Arizona rolling over.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
They made a very long and kind of racially offensive comparison of us to the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor.
Exactly.
And they said that they, unlike the USS Arizona, are not going to roll over.
I thought
trap dozens of sailors drowning inside.
Both hysterical and highly offensive.
Agreed.
So,
which that's, you know, props to them.
Yeah, sure. We've been known to do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave us a +1. They gave us a bonus point for mentioning Castle Risk.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to give them a bonus point for that, but we will say offensiveness.
A tip of the cap.
A tip of the cap.
Give him a tip of the
cap. Tip of the cap. No. Maybe later.
Wag. No finger wag. A tip of the cap.
Sure. Another thing I want to talk about, just right up front, because this is another thing that was annoying me. Steam's age verification. Who ever puts their real age into this? Like, if I were 12 years old, why would I put that I was born in 1998?
Especially since no one verifies it.
Back exactly.
In the day, they used to verify shit like
that. They'd be like, put your credit card number in. Yeah. We want to make sure you're over 18. You just literally put in any date that you care to put in.
Well, look, man, back in the day when the BBSs were around, you actually had to send in a fax of your driver's license. Or mail
what's
a photo
fax?
Copy.
I've never seen a fax.
apparently, it's something anonymous attacks banks, major banks with. You actually had to fax or mail them a facsimile or a photocopy of your driver's license, which
that's
led to
insane.
Myself and
I remember this.
Nate Dogg's infamous raid of Ace Jace's wallet.
Yep.
Where we stole his driver's license and used it as a fake ID to get access of megabytes of prawn.
Ooh, megabytes.
Megabytes back in the day, that's a lot of GIF images.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's a lot of 256 color GIF images.
That was the Duracell, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Energizer.
I don't know.
It was supposed to be mysterious and dark and evil. But it was Energizer Bunny. But I never ever give them the correct age. I give them random ages. Like, you would think they would store the age that you gave them before.
When I go to a website that asks me...
You didn't give us your real age. You didn't say the password.
Dude, if I go to a website right now that demands my age verification, I just, like, slam the year button until something that looks plausible, you know, from the 70s is. I select it and go. So...
I do 1-1 somewhere in the 80s.
And I think there's a lot of people born January 1. It's a statistical outlier.
Absolutely. 95% of the people who visit our website are born on January 1st.
I bet that's like if they keep track of statistics.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Wow.
Anyway, I don't know. That's all I've got on Steam Age. Like, I just wanted to say, I never put it
in my room. Have a little rant on Steam proper.
First of all,
we got Jim and I got roommate divorces.
The Bald Cave has moved downtown officially.
Yep.
Actually, it's not quite the Bald Tower yet. We are casting from the Bald Cave.
We're kind of we're nomadic right this week.
We are, but as soon as this cast is over, we're packing up all this shit and we're taking it downtown to the Bald Tower.
The Bald Tower.
But I just recently moved downtown to the Bald Tower, and I don't have internet access yet. It takes about a week to set up. They got to send me my self-installation kit. But I specifically went in, installed Steam, downloaded a bunch of games, because I was like, look, I'm not going to have internet. I need something to play.
You might as well play games.
Exactly. And so I downloaded a bunch of games. I downloaded Battlefield Bad Company 2. I downloaded, Left 4 Dead 2 to prepare for LAN. But I downloaded a couple others.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to play these. So I go and I load them up at home. I open up Steam, and it says, could not connect to the network. Okay, fine. I expected that. I choose start in offline mode. And what do you think it says?
It says you got to go online to start offline mode.
It says I got to go online.
I didn't notice because I saw your video.
Yeah, I made a video and I posted it to YouTube. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Apparently, what you have to do to get Steam to work offline is you first have to go online, log in, and choose to go to offline mode.
You don't think that's reasonable?
Absolutely fucking not.
Because you had to be online to download the shit.
Exactly.
You had to be downloaded and authenticated.
Yes.
What are they trying to do here?
I have to authenticate, and now I don't want to authenticate. I want to play the games that I have on my system. And I even went into the Steam apps folder and went to the Battlefield Bad Company folder to play the single player.
Right.
I open up the executable, and it comes back with an error. It says, sorry, can't open this shit.
Right.
You're a dumbass. You should have got online first.
I've actually heard that you have to go online, basically, and go in offline mode while you're online.
Yes,
and
then you can bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying that I kind of knew that was...
And here's the problem. Like, I have always
had
this objection.
It's hilarious, though, when you go offline, and it says, you must be online to go in offline
yeah,
mode.
Yeah, what the fuck?
The error message is, like, very...
Yeah, noticed. And then it tells me to go to help.steampowered.com.
Yeah.
Well, I can't fucking do that! I'm trying to play offline, assholes.
Right. Can you imagine if you went to a LAN with no access?
And oh my god.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
$300 worth of games are ready to play.
Dude, I have over 100 games on Steam.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that many.
I have probably thousands of dollars worth of games on Steam.
Right.
And they won't fucking let me play them.
Right.
It drives me insane.
All right, so our Steam rants are over. Do we have any...
No. My Steam rants are not over.
Begun?
I actually had another thing, but I can't... You threw me off track,
man. See, so that's over.
All right, it's over.
We got what's the juice for tonight's guest?
The juice? I've got some juice.
I wasn't done talking about our old enemy.
Oh, then bring it.
No, I'm going to say 2 minutes.
Okay.
I don't want to turn this into a personal arrogance cast.
Like where they insinuate about us all show,
yeah,
and they're like,
they
oh, blah, 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 blah.
They're like that ex that breaks up with you, but they can't stop talking about you.
It really is.
Yeah,
we did kind of take over their show that time.
Right.
I mean, the live show was mostly us. They mentioned Jonescaster I don't know how many times.
Yeah, right. They're name dropping us.
Yeah. More than any other listener. More than any other person in the chat, they listed Jonescaster.
But they had a couple good cracks on us.
They did. They did. Tip of the cap.
We'll get to them 2 minutes 8.
Yeah, 2 minutes 8, we'll unload. Anyway, I did want to bring up, I was listening to the Giant Bomb podcast today, which I typically listen to.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Jeff Gerstmann, Ryan Davis from the old GameSpot site. And I say the old GameSpot site. GameSpot's still around.
Is it?
It's just a matter of... I don't fucking listen to it because Jeff Gerstmann was the only one that I listened to. And then him and Ryan Davis split off when the whole Kane and Lynch thing went down, which was insane.
Yeah.
Apparently he gave it a bad review.
Oh, yeah.
The publisher didn't like it. And he hasn't... I don't know if he's legally bound to not talk about it, but he has not divulged the details of it.
Stuff, weird stuff like that happens all the time. Like, for example, Kenny Arcade Guys couldn't talk about how they lost their book rights up until this last year when they did their, like, 11 and a half year anniversary.
11 and a half? What did they say about it?
Well, they laid the whole...
Did they unleash it?
Oh, they did. There's a whole chapter of the book explaining how they lost. They got swindled out of their book rights and how much money and time it took to get them back.
Dude, that sucks.
Published their own stuff.
That sucks, because... as much as I am not a fan of webcomics, I got to give Penny Arcade props. I mean, they're doing the convention right.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I have not enjoyed any other convention more than Penny Arcade.
Plus, I don't know why you... We'll talk about that later.
We should talk about that because...
Because there might be some chinks in Jim's armor here. He actually might attend the Penny Arcade panel. Maybe. He let that drop the other day.
I know.
I've been that excited since I had a girlfriend said she'd do anal.
Because I literally...
You can't just roll over that.
I tried to.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners. I tried to roll over it. I couldn't do it.
Anyway.
I'm saying I ran. I literally ran out of the PAX panel last year.
This is a true story.
The Penny Arcade panel, I sprinted.
We went right from Will Wheaton, and like instantly they had the Rick... I think it was Rick... Rick James was the Everyday We Hustle.
Everyday We Hustle, yeah.
And then the curtain came up, and there's Mike and Jerry.
And I'm like, oh, shit, and I'm halfway out the door.
Jim ran like a bomb was about to go off.
I did.
Yeah. He, like, pushed, shoved little children, women. It was amazing.
I got under a desk like a nuclear blast.
Heroic, really. Anyway.
They recently changed the proper... procedures for avoiding a nuclear blast, from ducking under a desk to actually getting into a shelter.
Like, I was reading this online. Refrigerator? That provides absolute protection, right?
You want some ice cubes in there so you have water.
Because
you're going to have to stay in there for years.
Yeah. Plus,
I mean, the fallout.
Yeah, you need the ice for the thermal shock, too.
Sure. You better hope it's fully stocked. You better hope you've got burritos. You better hope you've got some Activia yogurt.
Plug up.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully you'll have an Indiana Jones stocked in there.
Yeah, you can open the door every once in a while to relieve yourself, but make sure you close it tight because the radiation is out there.
I gotta tell you, is so funny.
We're not even into the meat of the show. It's probably like 20 minutes.
No, we're gonna digress a little bit. I took my boy and my nephew to a tour of the caves in Kentucky, right?
A tour.
And it's just a brilliant idea. If you got kids, take them down to the caves of Kentucky in the winter because nobody else is there.
Yeah.
And you get to because
they think
place.
It's going to be too cold.
No, it's always...
Here's the thing. It's always
degrees.
Like 50-something degrees in
there. Like it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
You wear
it's always 58 degrees in the cave.
You wear a light jacket and you're good to go.
Yep.
It's shocking to people. They don't understand how...
It's because
like,
they're stupid.
Yeah. They don't understand how underground works.
Yeah.
Like acid Chilean miners.
Yeah.
What temperature it is underground.
Yeah.
That's, it's a cool 58 degrees.
Right. And actually it feels warm in the winter and it feels cool in the summer. It's like nature's perfect climate control.
Absolutely.
So we went down there, and the highlight of the trip was we toured the new entrance of Mammoth Cave. And
new entrance?
Yeah.
How recent? Because I haven't been there for... Oh, well, fuck. Okay, I've been there since 1920, been in that entrance.
The historic entrance has been owned and operated since 1830.
Is the historic entrance the front?
It's
the
giant bat cave looking... Yeah, like you probably... Because the historic entrance is this. You go into a sinkhole, and there is a door, like just a steel door that looks like it might go to Narnia in the side of a cliff.
Oh, God.
Like a regular residential heavy steel door. I've got a picture of my boys looking, you know, standing in front of the ranger. And you can't beat a ranger for a tour guide. I mean, they got the tie on, they got the hat.
An army ranger?
No. A forest ranger.
Well, that's fucking lame. I want an army ranger guiding me down the... Because you never know where you're going to meet. Like,
they don't even have
we're talking about the movie Descent here, right?
Okay, we need to keep moving on.
You need fucking army rangers to fight the monsters in
the
cave.
There were no monsters in this cave.
You could be Link. You could fight bats.
You there were no
fight,
bat.
The we pig
saw
men.
A bat. In all the caves we went to Kentucky, we saw a
you
bat.
You at least need the blue candle. That's
They've
all
been
I'm
ravaged
saying.
By some kind of fungus.
So
that's not a joke.
So have my feet.
So we went down there, and we're down in Mammoth Cave, and he took us to the lowest part of this particular tour. It's 283 feet below surface level.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. And he said, you know...
But it's all, like, a very gentle slope, right?
No.
No?
No.
You well, the stairs, I remember the stairs going down at the very entrance of it were crazy steep.
Well, you're thinking of this story. You got to be thinking of this story, because this one is just
maybe
all over the place, and steep descents, and, I mean, it's safe, because...
But they have it all paved, and they have
custom-made
it, like...
made ladder system, and all that kind of stuff.
And they've got lights
Am I gonna get
along the edges.
Not?
No, you're not. All I'm right. going to keep interrupting you
Damn
until
it.
The listeners tune out.
This is a long way to go for radioactive fallout. But so the ranger's down there, and he's like, you know, a lot of people are afraid about cave-ins and stuff. He goes, but this is actually one of the safest places to be on Earth. We've had 4.550 Richter scale earthquakes happen above us.
Yikes.
And we're so far underneath the bedrock that it's just like, you know, when you throw a rock in the lake, the surface ripples, but underneath the water, the whole lake doesn't ripple.
And don't give a shit.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, we've had this. We've had, you know, pouring down rain because the thing that makes caves in Kentucky possible is they got a cap of sandstone that acts like a roof that keeps the water off.
Technical.
Yeah. And then you got limestone underneath it. So he's like, you got rainstorm, you don't know. You got snowstorm. You have a tornado. You have, he said, a nuclear bomb. He said, that's the one thing that gets you, because why we'd be safe from the
fallout,
the initial blast,
the radiation,
and all the vibration. He goes, this cave system exchanges its air every 38 hours. So within 38 hours, radioactive air would rush into the cave and we'd all die. And then he paused for like 5 seconds. So this is the safest place on Earth except for
a nuclear
bomb struck right at Cave City, Cave. And the Russians, you know, are targeting Mammoth Cave National
Park.
Oh,
dude, if they're going to target anywhere.
They got 50 warheads at least pointed right at
them. Yeah, yeah. The one of them is going to get through.
So, yeah.
It turns out
you're not safe in 288 feet below. So
no, apparently, even I was reading this article today, even getting into a car reduces your chances of dying by 50%.
Well, I'm sure.
Due to the radiation. Just blocking the minimal radiation that a car will block.
The thing is your chance of your base chance of dying
is like
500%. 100,000%.
Exactly.
So, you know,
so reducing it by 50%, you're still 700% dead.
Right. Yeah, that can't be right. I mean, like, is the glass in the car shielded with lead? What the hell?
Mine is. I don't know about yours, but I have prepared for the apocalypse. I've prepared for every possible apocalypse.
You don't even have a gun.
A clown apocalypse? I've prepared
serious.
For that shit.
You don't even have a gun.
I do.
Like right here? Your left and your right?
Bam!
Boom!
Bam!
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I think we've exhausted that topic. I want to move on to the next one, which is... I was listening to Giant Bomb Cast. I've talked about them before.
Sure.
And
speaking of giant bombs, not safe in Mammoth Cave.
Not
giant bomb.
Safe. No. Giant bomb goes off. Do
right.
not go to
no.
Mammoth Cave because
no.
it will not save you.
Uh-uh.
But what will save you possibly is the game Wiki Hunt. They were talking about this on Giant Bomb Cast.
Really?
This is a game where what it basically does is it presents you with two random pages from Wikipedia. And it's the Kevin Bacon game. It's get from this page to this page in
the least clicks. Wow.
Yes. So you have to think, like...
Strategically,
which
of these links am I going to follow? What's going to take me closer?
No, not which link. Well, yeah, which links, but you've got to think, like, I want to get from Genghis Khan to MacBook Pro.
Right.
How do you do that?
Right.
What's the linkage between those two?
Would be awesome.
So you
got to
think like Genghis Khan. Let's try to do this live on the air. How do you get from Genghis
site.
Khan to MacBook Pro?
You'd have to go like to Asia.
Asia, and then
there's a probably a list that go to Japan.
Yeah, Japanese technological innovations.
List of the and then you know some place when you
get to PC.
It's PCs that link to
technology.
Apple, and then Apple take you to PowerBook.
Yeah,
or list of Apple models now.
And it's basically this game of who can get to the other page with the least links, and they have two modes.
Yeah,
they have a random mode where it selects two random pages from Wikipedia.
Right.
And says, get from this to this.
Right.
And they also have clicks to Jesus mode.
What?
So, like, it could be Chronicles of Narnia to Jesus.
Oh,
like, the last page is always... Well, yeah, that's one click.
One, right.
You're right. Chronicles of Narnia, straight to Jesus.
Right, right.
But if it's like... I don't
history
know.
History of erotica and human history.
or if it's like... Ender's Game.
Right.
To Jesus. How do you get
pretty
there?
Quick, because you go Ender's Game, Orson Scott Card, Mormons, Jesus.
We could do this. This should be a new segment of the show where we go
awesome
something to Jesus. I like this.
See, what I think would be awesome is if when you click on a link, if the top of the page would actually say hotter or colder.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did you just click further away, mm-hmm. or did you get actually closer?
Gotcha.
That would be kind of
because
cool.
See, they have like this is an iPhone game, iPhone and iPad,
mm-hmm.
and they have like the optimum solution.
Clicks
they have
Jesus.
The closest
right.
clicks you can
oh,
get.
Sure.
1, 2, 3, whatever. So it could tell you, like, you're losing this game. Sorry, you need to think a little bit better for this.
Right.
I just thought that was awesome. Like, that's cool because you get to learn. Like, you get to make all these connections in your head. Like, what connects from Genghis Khan to Marco Polo. Like, how do you get there?
I think they were contemporaries.
No,
yeah, they hung.
Genghis Khan?
That was the original concept of entourage.
Dude, you've gone off the rails on this cast.
Okay. We have meat. What was the meat of this
we
cast?
We do have meat. The meat of this cast, I had a topic that I really want to talk about. It's been in the news, like, 24/7, at least if you look at the geek sites that I go to. No.
Oh.
You're right, that has been. But I was gonna say the nano D or the nano what is it? Nano satellite D or nano
what in the hell?
Nano sail D. It's the solar sail.
Oh, dude.
Spacecraft that we just launched.
Personal arrogance just clowned us for spending 40 minutes talking about mice. We're really going to talk about solar sails?
But I'm not going to go crazy like
all
we
right,
did.
All right.
Because we didn't get crazy on mice. We were like, run down this. I just want this to be casual.
I understand that personal arrogance aren't really a gaming cast. They just talk about games they've never played.
That's true.
And then all
come
back to board games and Blood Bowl.
Yeah, it all comes back to Blood Bowl. Like,
yeah.
I think the only game they've ever played is Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
Right?
But what are we're talking about them again.
Yeah, stop this, that.
This, yeah, we're
anyway,
we're
I'm trying to talk about solar sails because it's been in the news. Everyone's, like, concerned about this NanoSail D that we launched that we've lost contact with.
Right.
And
I wonder how much that cost.
Billions.
Yeah, like, that's like losing your wallet.
No.
The NASA... No, but I mean, personally. Like, when you lose your wallet, the world ends.
It's like, oh, shit, I lost
my
wallet.
You can't purchase anything.
I don't have I can't drive legally.
You got no identity. Right.
Yep.
Like, the NASA engineers basically lost NASA's wallet. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and
by
lost...
That's number one.
No, that's like number five.
No, we
I've said it like five times.
Really?
Dude. Yeah.
Dude, PG-13.
I've been bringing it with the fucks.
No. You gotta bring up the bleeps then.
I'm not bleeping any of this shit.
All right, keep going.
It's going out to our audience. But I did a lot of research on solar sails. I'm not going to structure it like I did the mice because personal arrogance might have been a little bit right there. It might have been a step too far. In the technical direction, although we do cater to geeks,
yeah,
and geeks like
accuse us of getting
technical
too geeky.
Details.
We're getting too geeky.
Too geeky.
Right.
They're drinking beers and they're talking about Risk.
Right.
They're talking about Blood Bowl.
Settlers of Catan.
Get out of town.
Right.
We're going geeky.
Yeah.
We are geeks at heart, and that's what we're gonna do. So I'm sorry if that offends you.
Right.
But I wanted to keep this a little more casual. I just wanted to kind of explore the possibilities with solar sails, talk a little bit about how they work, because I don't think a lot of people know how they work.
Well, you blew my mind because you said Because I understand the solar sail to be like a big, like an umbrella.
Sure, and it catches photons. There's
solar wind that streams out.
That's actually not true. Hey, you would think it's solar wind.
I want to talk about the ignorant opinion. So
okay, you're going to bring the ignorance.
The solar wind blows from the sun. Ava Hubbard
bringing the ignorance.
It actually blows from the sun.
Since 1926.
It blows from the sun, and the umbrella catches it as yes. if it's a solar sail.
Umbrella core.
And it gets... You know, faster and faster because the solar solar wind is constant and it is pushed away out into the solar system.
That's true. The solar wind is constant. But the solar wind, interesting thing about the solar wind, is it's such a weak, weak force.
The sun's awful big. It makes my skin feel hot when I'm in it.
The sun will make you hot. That is correct.
Right.
But the solar wind really only affects things in space. Like, it can... Disrupt well, the solar computer sails in systems.
Space, am I wrong?
No, you are correct. You are correct.
I'm like Stephen Colbert all of a sudden.
The solar wind is about 10,000 times less force on an object than the EM radiation from the sun.
Is that got a lot?
10,000 times, man. That's a fucking lot.
But what if the EM what if the EM radiation is like a fire hose? It might be like super strong and use 10,000 times less, like pfft.
It's not super strong. It's 2 micropounds.
Whoa.
Micropound. A millionth of a pound of pressure.
That's not a lot.
Per meter.
That's not a lot.
That's not a lot. My it's not a lot at all.
A lot more micropounds on this seat than the sun is exerting with the solar sail.
You're not putting micropounds. You're putting kilopounds, megapounds.
Uh-huh. Gigapounds.
Monstro pounds.
I'm not that fat. Jesus.
You got bear status. I was listening to the last cast. You got bear status. Oh,
that's the body here.
Yeah, but it's also the size.
Okay, I'm bald.
You got some height. You got some weight.
I'm big boned.
You're big boned. Okay. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about the solar sails.
Okay.
Because I did a lot of research. I'm not going to lay it out like the mice.
Count Dooku.
Don't worry. Had
a solar sail.
Count Dooku did. But he's an asshole, and apparently it would not work anything like that.
Oh, really?
Because he would be accelerating at the speed of a slug.
Really?
The speed of a centipede trying to crawl across your bathroom floor while you are trying to stop it. Yoda would have caught him in a fucking second.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because the way solar sails work is there is a very, very small pressure pushing forward the craft.
Uh-huh.
Very small. 2 micropounds. Right. I mean, you can't physically exert 2 micropounds on anything.
Okay.
It's impossible.
Right.
So, yeah, Yoda would have caught him in a second.
Okay.
It takes a very long time to ramp up the speed, but the thing about solar sails is they can ramp the speed up phenomenally high because it's a constant pressure.
Right. It doesn't stop.
And it's at the speed of light. Right. Like, literally, it can carry you... Nearly to the speed of light, if you have a almost non-existent mass. Like, you want the smallest amount of mass possible, and the biggest sail to catch the most. I don't know the exact percentages. I'm not going to pretend that I know that much about it.
Okay.
But we've launched a couple of these things.
Well, how does it fly towards the sun?
Okay, we will get to that. I just want to start off with, we've launched a couple of these things. We have tested, like, the deployment of the sails. It's interesting because there's actually, like, two different
types. We tested the cut of its jib.
We cut its jib.
We tested the cut of its jib. We like the cut of its jib.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good with it.
Acceptable jib cut.
Acceptable.
Yeah.
But there are basically two types of solar sails. There's one that is supported in 3 dimensions by inflatable arms, kind of like a kite. It'll have this structure to it where it goes out in 3 different dimensions and can hold the sail.
Mm-hmm.
The other type is like, and that's called like a three axis type.
You have to have special goggles to see them.
You do. Otherwise, it's totally invisible. The spin, there's another type called spin stabilized, which is basically a rotator in the middle, which spins... the sails, and the centrifugal force pulls them out.
Right.
And expands them, almost like inflates them.
Sure.
To catch the most amount of photons. And it's actually pretty interesting how this works, because typically you think like a mass has to hit something to make it move.
Right.
Like when you're on Earth, you're thinking, okay, air pressure, mm-hmm. all this stuff, these atoms are hitting.
They have things. A reaction, they have an equal and opposite one.
Exactly. But in solar cells, you don't have any mass. Photons don't have any mass. They're just energy. And so what happens is the electric, it's an EM radiation. So it's electromagnetical radiation. And this, what happens is the electrical part of the electromagnetic radiation hits the surface of the cell, and it will charge it with an electrical charge.
Uh-huh.
And then the magnetic field will be what actually propels it. It's like pulling on a wire that has electricity going through it. It will pull on that force. So it will take you off into the direction of, like, the sun's rays come in, and if it's hitting it direct on, it will push you in the direction of the sun's rays. Now, the interesting thing is, you were talking about, like, going towards the sun, because mm-hmm. the sun, you would think, since it's the source of the propulsion, it would push you away from the sun at all right. times.
Like so, a conventional sail. You can't sail sure, through the eye of the wind.
But you can. It's something called tacking. And they do this with sailboats, and they can yeah. also similarly do this with...
Tacking terrestrially will not work in space. I know enough about sailing to know that the only reason sure. tacking works is because there's a big fin on the bottom of the boat that the water pressure exerts, you know, so when you're getting that sail side on, it's actually mm-hmm. blowing you sideways because there's that enormous, like, shark fin on the bottom that is being yeah. converted to diagonal motion.
Sure.
So you're kind of, like, zigzagging up into the wind.
And there's nothing to press
but
against.
But you can't sail straight into against the wind. You have to do it at a diagonal angle.
Exactly. And it's, so in space, it's very what similar. The hell? It's very similar in space, actually, because you have gravity working on.
Holy crap.
On your vessel, whatever it may be with the solar sail. So basically, you get into an orbit around the sun. And if you point the force, basically, okay, the way solar sails is they reflect the light, the photons, back in a direction. So you can either reflect them forward by turning your sail 45 degrees away from the light, or you can turn it 45 degrees towards the light, and you can reflect it backwards. So what you do is basically you get into this orbit around the sun, and if you reflect the light... backward along the path that you have been already, it will decrease your orbit.
Wow.
Or I'm sorry, no, it will increase your orbit because it will speed you up.
Right.
It's basically like,
fly to the sun.
You could with an orbit pattern because it will decay your orbit. If you direct the force in front of you,
mm-hmm.
it will slow you down. Which means you're not going as fast, which means the gravity will act more on your ship,
right.
on your vessel, and right. it will pull you in towards the sun. So you could get to the sun.
Right.
And that's the way that you...
It seems awfully slow way to travel around. Like,
well, you have to think of the speeds. You have to do a hell
of a lot of planning. And...
Well, that's the thing. Like,
and it's
when you're...
It'd be good for extrasolar travel. Because you basically get yeah. as fast as you can before you run out of photons, and then you keep that speed. You're just going to
Well, that's the thing. In space, photons travel infinitely. I mean, they travel as far as you want them to. They never decay until they hit solid matter.
Really? But they get yeah. to be more and more spaced apart. They have to be. Because, you know, if you're out beyond Pluto, the sun looks
sure.
like a particularly bright star.
Sure, they lose a little bit of energy, but...
Well, they lose energy. Yeah. They're just it's like the BFG and Doom.
But here's the thing.
The further you get away, the less rays of it's hitting you.
But you have literally no drag.
Yeah.
So right. every second that you have of sunlight right. hitting your solar sail, you're accelerating. When you stop getting any sunlight, when you have right. none of it,
it's
you're
like
still
you
traveling
down.
Absolutely as fast as you
right.
were before.
Right.
You just don't slow down.
So this wouldn't be necessarily to shuttle from Earth to Mars. It'd be more to, like,
yeah.
leave the
You want to leave
system.
The solar system. You want to go to Alpha Centauri. You
so
want to
like,
go somewhere like that.
Like the Voyager probe, if it had a solar sail, it would have mm-hmm. got where it's going a lot faster.
Absolutely. I mean...
How do we lose? Did you know?
How do we lose nanosail
D? Because I kind of quit... Following these news articles when I found out you wanted to talk about it. How did we lose our solar sail?
I
mean, we know where it's at, right?
We don't. No. We don't even know if it launched. We're not entirely sure.
Holy crap.
Yeah, there were some indications that it supposedly launched, but we're not sure now because we haven't communicated for it, or we haven't communicated with it.
We've got an approximate location. Why can't we pick up a signal?
I don't know. You'd have to ask NASA about that, man. I'm just trying to tell you how solar sails work.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. It's interesting. Because I thought, like, I didn't know going into this that photons had no mass. I thought it was basically like air hitting the sail.
Yeah, I thought so, for sure.
But it's actually like the electrical charge and the magnetic charge of the, like, the forces working on the sail.
It almost sounds like an ion drive that's powered by solar radiation. Because, like, to me, I was thinking,
I don't know much about ion drives.
Well, the way ion drive works is, like, you got a grid, okay, and you got this chemical reaction that makes particles flow out of one side of the grid. And that tiny, tiny little force pushes you faster, but unlike a rocket engine that pushes you super freaking fast at a high G.
It just pushes you steadily,
for like 15 minutes.
Very slow.
So it seems like the optimal thing is to have a chemical rocket to get you out of the orbit, and then like an ion engine that it looks, or no, do a solar sail
solar
until
sail.
You
yeah.
run out of, you know, the photons to speed you up, and then deploy an ion engine that has all of its fuel to continue pushing you beyond.
I mean, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars here.
Right.
I mean, it's actually interesting because a lot of the solar sail stuff, we've been experimenting with this stuff since 1993.
Uh-huh.
We have been experimenting with the deployment of solar sails and, like, should we spin it? Should we make it on a three-dimensional axis? Should we, like, how should we structure this? Since 1993.
Right.
And it's just now 2010, and we're talking about finally experimenting with propulsion.
And we lost it.
Well, America lost it. Japan, who has been reaping havoc on our asses in space, has not lost it. Like, they know exactly where the ship is. Their solar sail is working.
You mean they have one, too, or they're talking about tracking?
They have one. It's called Icaros.
Oh, Icaros. You mean Icarus?
Icarus?
Isn't
Icaros? Icarus?
I don't know.
I-K-A-R-O-S.
I bet it's the Japanese version of Icarus.
Anyway, it's the Japanese Aeronautical Exploration Association or something like that.
Right.
Launched several months before we did. Although, actually, there was a NanoSail D. Part of the project was a first satellite, which in 2008 launched, and we lost it in a launch failure. So it kind of just burned up.
USA.
Great.
USA.
Wonderful. Yeah. So in 2010, after the Japanese launch of their Icarus or Icaros, whatever you want to call it,
right?
We finally got ours up.
Right.
But we lose ours.
Video game Kid Icarus.
They don't lose theirs. They know what's going on. Japan, man. They're kicking
our
ass in aeronautics.
They make it better.
They really do.
It's just like, what was that one company? We don't make the cassettes. We make them sound better.
Sanyo?
I don't know.
Who's heard the name Sanyo in like 20 years?
Abort. This is boring.
All right.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Anyway, so yeah. Solar sail technology is very cool. It allows us to have propulsion in space without fuel.
Right.
Without spending Earth's resources.
It's green technology.
It's very green. Very green. And it can go further than any other technology we have.
Sure.
I mean, we can boost our rockets out into space and let them go, but using solar
and I've heard tell that you could actually boost it while so close to Earth by focusing a laser on it.
Sure, microwaves, so like especially microwaves.
Like
yeah,
you're pushing extra hard. You're like blowing on a little toy boat until it gets out of range.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've talked about like actually using that mechanism to slow it down as it approaches another solar system, or another star system, I guess, since it wouldn't be Sol.
Right.
What you can basically do is you can take part of the solar sail and, like, flip it out.
Yeah.
And redirect all of the photons that it collects into the main collector, the main sail, and slow the thing down.
Right.
But what it would take is a ridiculously focused and powerful microwave to get it there. So we're not really experimenting with that yet.
Sure.
But we are pushing things out far beyond what we're about to. I'm going to say that. We're about to push things out far beyond what, like, Voyager and all these things have actually gone to.
But I'd like to see us do more probes. I mean, the Voyager thing is so awesome, and we've got the V'ger. Pathfinder program.
V'ger.
Where we had these remote control cars on Mars for years.
And if
years,
we can bring them back a hot, bald chick in the form of V'ger, I'm all for that. Get her naked in the sonic shower.
Yeah.
And I'm good to go.
Sure. To Paul.
DePaul was not in that movie.
Whatever.
Star Trek 1, man. It's the first one.
I know. So what are we talking about? Do we have what's our record time right now?
Like 5 hours.
Oh, that's too long. No one's still listening.
No, it's 44 minutes.
Okay. We got time to talk about Breaking Bad a little bit?
We do.
Jim and I, we decided that we're like kind of going to start like Mad Men. We watch kind of together.
Sure.
We've selected another episode, and we had like basically between The Shield, The Wire, and Breaking Bad, and maybe Dexter. I don't think Dexter, but you know,
The Wire was never really on my radar.
Dang it, man! Because that's the next one.
I've seen The Shield. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Another cop drama.
Well, we got 3 seasons of Breaking Bad to plow through. I started it, and I gotta say, I'm really into it so far.
Hal. Hal is his name, and Malcolm in the Middle. I just remembered it.
Yes, Jim.
We're going to skip ahead to Hal.
The main character of Breaking Bad is played by the father, the Hal. Actor that played the father of Malcolm in the Middle. And
which is awesome, by the way. His name is Hal in the show.
Well, and what's funny is it took me, like, his name's Bryan Cranston, and it took me a good 5 minutes to realize that was him.
And I've not seen this show, so...
Right.
Aaron's going to spoil it for me right here.
No, because I'm just going to talk about what happened in the first episode.
Okay.
So the setup is this guy's a high school chemistry teacher.
Sure.
He's got a son that is some kind of disabled. He wears, like, crutches, and he doesn't get along... He has, like, not fine motor control, and he has kind of, like, a slurred speech, so I'm not sure if it's all...
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, it's early, very young Stephen
very
Hawking.
Very young Stephen Hawking.
Before he gets the pimp wheelchair.
Before he gets the nubs on his wheels.
Right. And he's got a wife whose sister is kind of, like, some sort of pediatrician or doctor, and she's married to a DEA agent.
The Drug Enforcement Agency.
So early on in episode one, the high school chemistry teacher finds out he has lung cancer. And then he also finds out he has another child on the way.
Oh, this guy's got some bad luck.
And you see
luck.
This guy working like two jobs. He's working at this degrading car wash where students come and make fun of him for scrubbing wheels. And he's working as a high school chemistry teacher.
Man.
Well, like his brother-in-law seems like a kind of an asshole who's a DEA agent. Was bragging about this big bust they made of crystal meth. And how and the guy's like, well, how much money is that? And he's like, oh, there's $700,000 here. He's like, well, is that a big bust? He's like, yeah, it's just kind of like middling.
Nice.
So he starts thinking, he asked to go on a ride-along with the DEA agent as they bust a meth lab. So they bust this meth lab, and they find this one guy inside, and... Then as they're in there, he's like, well, could I actually go and take a look at the lab, you know, just out of curiosity? And he's like, well, let's go check and make sure it's safe. While his brother-in-law's in there making sure it's safe, you see this kid sneaking out of the neighbor's house. Okay. Like he was over there to hit a slice of the neighbor's wife. And he comes out, and the guy sees him and recognizes him as a former student. So he tracks him down and says, hey, I want to cook meth with you.
I feel like this is a one-to-one rundown of the episode. Like, you are going to take 42 minutes.
No, I'm not. I'm already halfway through
this episode.
The thing is like, because meth, people that cook meth are apparently idiots.
Well, this they guy, blow themselves up a lot, yes.
When this guy is professionally trained, he makes meth that the guy, like, holy crap, this is ice. This is like is like unheard of purity. We're going to make a fortune.
He knows a lot about chemistry.
But the thing is he knows nothing about crime. And the first episode, he gets, like, double-crossed by this crime lord. And it's a cross between, I described it as a cross between, I don't know.
Care Bears and Michael Jackson's last performance.
I threw in, like, MacGyver.
You did. I can't remember either.
He's a cross between something and MacGyver.
Something and MacGyver.
Yeah.
Magellan and MacGyver.
Because this guy solves problems with chemistry. You got a body to hide, you dissolve it in hydrofluoric acid.
Well, I'm going
to
blow it up with salt and water.
Exactly. You got a drug lord that's trying to kill you, you flood the gas, you flood the lab with this toxic gas while you hold your breath, and you dissolve his body in hydrofluoric acid.
Need to get out of this cave. One of the first MacGyver episodes is getting out of like this collapsed laboratory. Whatever.
I saw him watch. He made an ultralight out of bamboo.
Maybe we need to go back.
A cement mixer engine and MC Hammer pants. That's actually not really an exaggeration, by the way.
No, nice.
I love MacGyver.
Hal and MC Hammer pants is.
Back in the day, when I was in third grade, MacGyver was all the rage. Me and these other kids had this MacGyver club where we would actually take little motors from toy cars and batteries and wires, and we'd do things, and we'd have like a special school box, and we'd keep all this shit, and we'd pray for rain days. So instead of going outside for recess, we'd do this. And it all came to crashing in when one of my buddies was trying to take apart a battery. Mm-hmm. And he inserted the kid's safety scissors underneath the cap, and he started banging on it. And it turns out
there's acid in batteries.
It's got basically a zinc rod dipped in acidic paste.
Yeah,
and that zinc rod came flying out and stabbed him right in the eye.
Holy shit! Is he blind now?
He's not blind, and the teacher, he's like screaming, and the teacher grabs him in a headlock.
The teacher headlocks him.
She's like, oh my god.
You did something horrible. Headlock.
She's like, what'd you do? He's like, I got battery eyes in my eyes. So she grabbed the headlock. There's a sink at the back of the class where you can like
clean
up your
his head
supply.
Into a water fountain.
Dunked his head in that sink.
Yes.
Over and over again.
That's what I would do, man.
He came to school 2 days later with an eye patch. He lifted his eye patch at and it was disgusting, man. Everything except for the blue part of his eye, because he was blonde hair, blue eyed. All the white. What was that? What is that?
It's MacGyver, man.
No, MacGyver's.
Yeah. That's what I was singing.
All the listeners have clicked off now.
They have. Eye patch.
He lifted it up and he showed us all the white had been eaten away and was replaced with bright orange.
Oh, shit.
And his cornea had been, like, partially eaten away.
His hornea. Gone.
Yeah. True story.
Wow. That's messed up.
That's
man.
What Breaking Bad wanted me to do. I wanted to get out of chemistry set and make meth.
I need
so
to
I'm
watch dick, the show.
I'm four episodes in. That's pretty sweet.
I'm zero episodes in, and I
we're probably going to have a Breaking Bad breakdown. So,
right.
Listeners, if
Why
you want to do our TV club, download or buy the DVDs of Breaking Bad Season 1.
Yeah, I feel like...
In a couple weeks, we're going to be busting out our thoughts of Season 1.
Geek Nights does a book club, which they...
We need to do a TV club.
I think we need to do a TV club.
So we're
because
the,
we watch a lot of television.
Floor.
We watch Mad Men, we watch...
No, we don't watch shit.
Walking Dead.
Stuff.
We watch really, really high quality stuff.
Universally acclaimed.
Mostly AMC.
Right.
Because they seem to be doing everything
I
right.
I Breaking
lately.
Bad was AMC. It's got to be Showtime because there was titties.
No. It's AMC,
no,
man.
No, there's titties.
But it's AMC.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's
then
AMC.
Then why haven't we seen
titties in Walking Dead?
No, in Mad Men.
Because Christina Hendricks.
I
want to
see Joni Nate. Yeah. I got to see that. Yeah. But yeah,
AMC,
do Season 1 of Breaking Bad.
AMC, get on that shit. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Christina Hendricks, we need her new...
Walking Dead is throwing that in the gauntlet. They got 5 million viewers. You want to get 15 million viewers?
Stack it up.
You announce the season opener of Season 5, Christina Hendricks, full-on frontal nudity. I'm there.
Dude, I'm there.
I'll pay-per-view that shit. You want to charge $65 for that episode? I will gladly pay.
Or put her in Playboy, at least.
Yeah.
Put her in Playboy.
Yeah. Well, one of the Mad Men girls did appear in Playboy.
Really?
I want to say
not Peggy.
No, I want to say
oh,
it's
thank
Pete's
God.
Wife, which
Pete's,
I wouldn't mind seeing.
Pete's wife's all right.
She's cute
I
in a
definitely
dirty way.
Would rather see Christina Hendricks.
Oh, though. Would you? Oh, would you?
Oh, would you?
Would you rather climb the Himalayas?
Would you rather climb
the Smoky Mountains?
The hill down the road,
yeah.
or the Himalayas?
Yeah. Himalayas.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd rather climb the Himalayas. Thank you.
But yeah, we're going to have a probably a... The nice thing about Breaking Bad is it's an active show. The season four is renewed. There's only three seasons of 11 episodes each. So 33, mm-hmm. you're about 24 hours of TV watching away from fully catching up.
What was the AMC show that they just recently canceled? Rubicon, I think?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's called Rubicon. And it got like one season and they canceled it.
Must have sucked.
No, I've heard it was really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which AMC, I mean, they're AMC is the leading network now.
Oh, yeah.
If you want quality television, you go to AMC.
Right. Even above HBO and Showtime right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, HBO and Showtime, and stuff like True Blood, whatever. People are liking that stuff, but yeah. AMC is where it's at. All right. I've actually thought about getting cable just for that.
We have a new segment.
The 2 minute eight?
No. New segment. We're actually going to draw at random Trivial Pursuit cards.
Listeners, we have a little treat for you this week.
This is gold.
This is gold. We have come up with a completely novel idea.
To kill time. Because we don't have enough geek stuff to talk about.
We don't. There's not enough geek stuff in the news.
No, huh?
It's all about jocks now.
Right.
We've come up with a segment. It's called
Trivial Pursuit. We're going to literally draw at random a card from the famous 80s video game, so it's topical and relevant.
Yep.
We're going to take turns.
First edition, Genesis 1, or whatever we need to do here.
We're going to take one of these cards and read it, and Jim and I are going to take turns guessing the answer, and then we're going to keep score.
We're
going to
have a good old-fashioned trivia competition.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
So are you ready for this exciting
Dude,
feature?
I was born ready.
All right, I'm drawing the first card. Pull a good one out of the...
Something over here, all right.
I got the card right here in hand.
That's a flimsy card.
So we got like a couple categories. We got geography.
Got sports
history,
and leisure. Sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure. We got science. What are you feeling?
Science and nature, actually.
Science and nature. What are you feeling?
Let's do geography.
All right. The question is...
Oh, God.
What country did Siam become?
Siam.
The answer would be... Who gives a fuck?
This
is the stupidest segment I've ever heard of.
Why would we do that shit?
I don't know. It's because we don't have enough geek topics to fill in.
You know what we should do?
What?
The 2 minute
hate. The 2 minute
hate.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
No, I
get that timer ready to go.
Ready to go, because we are primed and ready.
We are ready, dude.
Two
I've got so much
clock.
To unleash.
Are you? Let me get off of this Trivial Pursuit crap.
Trivial Pursuit shit. What is Trivial?
All right, ready. 2 minutes on the clock,
dude.
And hate. Well, they did a lot of clowning on how lame Indianapolis was.
They
and
did
how
boring.
Seattle's got it going. I was like, man, maybe we are just a little pathetic cow town. So I looked up into the United States cities by population.
Yeah.
I see New York, L.A., Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Philadelphia, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas.
Let me ask you, what number
Detroit,
are we?
San Francisco, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, number 14.
Wait, I didn't hear Seattle above Indianapolis.
I did not see Seattle. Let's go down and see where...
Oh, my God, 33rd?
23rd, Seattle, Washington. 600,000 people in the metro
compared to the 14th on Indianapolis?
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, that's rough. That's got to suck. And, you know, the thing is, we've been to your town.
We have been there for PAX.
It's not really the west, it's the northwest. We've been
it's all right.
Town.
A lot of hills.
We've ridden your ferries.
Yeah.
We've drank your damn coffee.
Yeah.
We've gone to your Penny Arcade.
Your SeaTac. Your airport.
It's all right, but I'm telling you, there's nothing. We've got a lot going on.
Guess what? We got Starbucks here too.
That's right.
We got Starbucks.
We got sushi. And for Penny Arcade, what do they get? Like 50,000 gamers.
Sure.
Gen Con brings 120,000 gamers every year.
Guess what? That's at least twice what you got.
And for board game whores like you, I can't believe you haven't made it up to Gen Con because it's all about board games and role playing games.
And you know where that is? Midwest Coast.
That's right.
I'm bringing it back.
In Indy. Naptown.
Right here. You know, speaking of Naptown, nicknames. Nicknames. I'm going to go into nicknames. Let's see. What are the nicknames of Indianapolis? The crossroads
of
fucking America.
Indy.
The racing capital of
the
world. The amateur sports capital of the world. Let's see. What are the nicknames of Seattle?
Emerald City. You got Munchkins
Emerald City.
Around there.
Rain City? That's basically like... It might as well be Don't Go Outside because it fucking sucks, city. Gateway City.
I think that. Oh.
And that's not even it. Gateway to Alaska.
Oh, it's done. It's done.
We're going to have more on that next time. Blue Yonder.
I actually got one more.
3 minutes, hate.
Maybe I should. Yeah, we should probably save
it. Let's save it. Yeah. We'll go back into the nicknames next time.
Yeah, the nicknames.
Let's see what they've got. Let's see what they bring.
Right.
I mean, how are you going to do justice to Rain City?
As we stack up the cons, as we stack up the population, as we stack up the vibrancy of the city.
I mean, population.
More and more, this cast is starting to sound like less personal arrogance and more unwarranted self-importance.
Oh, that's a good one. Maybe you should think about changing your title.
Yeah.
Your name of your cast. It's USI. Not really accurate.
Yeah.
USI, unwarranted self-importance.
Importance. It wouldn't be importance. It'd be importance.
It's like, okay, sure.
So should we open the mailbag?
Yeah, let's do it. Reveal?
Okay.
Bring on some mail.
I'm creaking open the mailbag. It's right here someplace.
I'm totally out of beer.
We're going to have to get some more.
Totally out of liquor.
We're not going to talk about it, though. That's lame.
No. That's something they would do on other podcasts. Quite significantly.
I've got an email from James from Sioux City, Iowa.
James.
We're big in Iowa.
From Iowa.
He asked, what WTF?
WTF.
He actually said, so I don't have to say the F word and get us the R.
Sure. WTF.
WTF is up with Batman and Korn. I just don't get it. Love your cast.
Well, James, you need to go listen to episode, what is it, 9 or 12?
Whatever.
It's 9. 12 is Geek Colorblindness. 9, I think, is the zombie apocalypse draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 9, Zombie Draft.
You need to go listen to that. Or you can go to our forums, forums.baldmove.com, sign up for them, and check out our bonus content where we riff on...
Yeah, we go on that
the Batcave and Batman growing corn. You really need to check that out because it's hilarious.
Because it turns out that as a linchpin of your zombie survival strategy,
absolutely,
you got to be able to grow corn.
And I'm holding true to this.
And Batman, though he's the world's greatest detective,
he is. He's smart. He's resourceful.
Foremost scientist, one of the brilliant tacticians of our age. He can't grow corn.
I'm just gonna say, Batcave not conducive to growing corn.
We actually have got Wikipedia at.
We
vandalized
do.
To where Batman's only known weakness is agriculture, specifically corn.
Yeah, we had that at some point.
So if you listen to bonus content, you'll pick that up pretty quick. But it's basically some insanity that happened from episode 9.
Listen to episode 9.
It's Jim's
listen
jealousy
to...
of how awesome my zombie fighting team
dude,
was.
Dude, all I got to say is Boba Fett. I got Boba Fett.
I got Iron Man. That's the Boba Fett neutralizer.
Iron Man's cheap.
At least we don't have Fade.
Iron Man runs. Iron Man practically dies every movie anyway. You never see Boba Fett practically dying. Boba Fett practically dies in the last movie, but he survives that shit. You think Iron Man would survive a fucking Sarlacc pit?
Only in the EU does Boba Fett survive that Sarlacc pit.
The EU is canon.
No.
Canon. No, because there is no other... There's nothing to contradict it.
Wait. We had this fight in the zombie cast.
There's nothing...
We need to move over.
There's nothing to contradict it in...
whatever.
In Lucas's canon.
Wikipedia.
I'll say that. Wikipedia at all night. He's a human. He's usable in my draft.
Uh-huh.
And he's a fucking badass.
Uh-huh. We're probably over 50 minutes. We've got a couple more letters in the mailbag. We'll cover them next week. If you want us to read an awesome email, just send it in.
Yeah.
To where?
BlueYonder@baldmove.com.
We will read whatever you put in.
Literally, we will read whatever.
If you have a manifesto, the Unabomber, you want to reach us?
Here's my thing. I'm going to challenge personal arrogance.
Really?
To email us. Email us something that you think we won't read.
Oh, we'll read it.
And I can guarantee you we'll read it.
We'll read it.
Email us something so offensive, so off the charts, despicable. That not even... what's his
Kim Jong Il.
What's his name? The Sam guy with the guns? The mustache?
Sam?
Yosemite Sam. That not even Yosemite Sam would read this shit. Even with his mustache covering his mouth so you can't even hardly tell what he's saying.
That confounded rabbit.
Would read this. I dare you to email us.
Yeah.
I dare you.
And we dare to listeners.
And if you do, we'll email you.
And we might, you know, forums are fair game too, which are forums.baldmove.com.
Forums.baldmove.com. And you better be sure that we will send you another update on our war.
Well, and the other thing that kind of sucks is the podcast, we're like running a week behind on feedback. So if you want the latest news from the front, you need to sign up for our Facebook account.
And especially our forums.
Go to Facebook account, search for Bald Move.
Sure.
And you need to get on the Twitter.com/BaldMove.
Yep.
And visit.
And I actually signed up for a Twitter account myself.
We got Jim Jones.
My name is actually Jonescaster, so I do at Jonescaster. And you will get to me.
I'm DCI Griefer for reasons that if you go to my first of my timeline,
you'll understand.
Will become clear because when we used to play Magic, we brainstormed ways we could piss off DCI judges
we
at tournaments.
We haven't played that in a while.
So we ought to talk about that. That's a good cast subject. Because it's pretty funny. Movie. How can you piss off a DCI judge without getting out and out thrown out in this qualifier?
Yeah, it's a fine line that you've got to draw.
Right.
And you've got to walk that line.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to piss them off.
Right.
And then you got to try to get thrown out.
Although, now that I've been to the DCI tournaments, I think the question is, how do judges grief the players without getting physically punched in the face?
Yeah.
Any other show notes, or is that going to do it?
It's probably going to do it. Send us an email, blueyonder@baldmove.com. I don't think we talked about
iTunes,
that.
We could use some...
iTunes.
We've disabled the old shitty cast feed, so now any reviews that you leave are going to be, we need the more five-star reviews, we need the more reviews, period. One-star reviews, we don't care. We'd like to have five-star reviews, but...
Whatever. Just review us.
Honest.
I mean, Jamie, Matt, if you're out there listening and you want to review us, you don't even have to leave leave a three-star review.
Yeah.
A three-star review is fine. A one-star review is fine.
We just want reviews.
We just want reviews.
And
we just
we'll
want
read.
People to understand that they're listening to our cast.
We also read any review posted.
We read any review.
But we got a couple that
we need
to behind. We need to, next feedback segment, we need to leave a little time to read those.
We do. I feel like we need something extra in this outro. Like we need a...
The GFY?
What's a GFY?
Go F yourself.
Go F yourself. To the personal arrogance. Although, I got
to
say,
too. We used to be a lot more hostile to our listeners. The war has brought us together.
1-800 go fuck yourself, listeners.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the other way you can contact us.
That's the other way. Via phone, via Skype.
Uh huh.
With that said, until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.